Father, I thank you for Kent and Angie and their family. And I thank you that you've used just ordinary Joes to do extraordinary work of the gospel. And I pray that you'd fill him with your spirit, that he might clearly communicate the glory of your word and the heart of your mission. For God so loved Albania that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have eternal life. I thank you that the Mortons have followed your call to leave everything behind and actually to find more in Albania than they would have ever found here at home. So ask your blessing on his message to us today. Again, may it be for your glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. As Pastor Lance stated, my name is Kent Morton. My wife Angie and I have been missionaries in Albania for a number of years now, ever since 2009 was our first trip over to Albania. Just a few slides by way of introduction and a little bit of information just to give some context to today's message. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about a thread of God's plan that goes through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. I'm not talking about the little ribbon bookmark, not that type of thread, but the thread of God's redeeming plan that he has to gather unto himself a nation from all peoples. So, but first, a little bit of information. Albania is a small country just north of Greece, across from Italy, across the Adriatic Sea. It's about the size of Maryland, with roughly 3.5 million people. The other half of the nation, another 3.5 million, actually live outside of Albania and make up the diaspora. But about half of that live inside the country. And I'll be sharing a little bit more about our ministry. This is our dog. His name is Bosco. So he's being well taken care of during our time here in the States. So I want to share with you a little bit about this redeeming thread, this God's plan. And this is going to be our anchoring text this morning out of Luke 24. I'll say a few words in preface leading up to this passage. We'll read the text for this morning and then proceed with the message. God has a plan to gather unto himself a people, a redeemed people out of humanity. And it's people from all nations that are justified as righteous, having their sins atoned for, and co-heirs with Jesus, adopted into God's family. And what a beautiful thing that is. We will spend eternity with him, enjoying his presence and praising him and giving glory to him. So from Genesis to Revelation, we see this story unfold before us in terms of what God has revealed to us as his creation, as human beings, the special revelation that we find in the Holy Scripture in terms of how this plan is played out. Everything in the Old Testament that points to Jesus, and everything now after the cross pointing back to Jesus as the only way and for that redemption to play out for God. And God's plan is perfect. God is sovereign. And his plan will not be thwarted, even though there are some evil forces at work in the world that think they might be able to put a dent in God's plan. He merely uses those efforts against him to help accomplish his own will and what his perfect plan is. God has a plan, and we are, in fact, a part of that plan. He uses us to be the voice of the gospel, proclaiming it to the nations. And newsflash, there is no plan B. We are the plan. There is no plan B. We, as those in Christ, justified by grace, and seen as righteous in his eyes, if you are in Christ, you have a task. Maybe you didn't sign up for it, but as a believer in Christ, each of us have a task to be a part of proclaiming his gospel to the nations, so that in the very end of ages, around the throne will be gathered representation from all tongues and tribes and nations. All ethnic groups will be there. Let's read the scripture for this morning out of Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you grateful and thankful for the opportunity to gather in your name and to hear from your word. Father, we ask that these truths would help us in our own faith and Christian living as we live for you, each in our own way, as we seek to increase in our own sanctification and becoming like Christ in our actions and thoughts. Father, would you use this during this time? And may this service be pleasing to you. Amen. In the beginning of the text for today, we see in verse 44 that everything in the Old Testament that was written about Jesus must be fulfilled. And indeed, it is fulfilled. And God's plan of redemption from the beginning and pointing to preparing for Jesus to come, we see this constant thread, this plan of redemption that God is unfolding, starting in Genesis and all the way through. We are to share the good news, to disciple the believers and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And while God's plan of redemption is easy to understand, it does have a few parts to it and a few parts that we need to get right. It's a big problem if anything is added to the gospel. Likewise, it's a big problem if anything is taken away from the gospel. Anything added to it in terms of works isn't a gospel that can save. And if you take Christ out of the equation, out of the gospel, again, it's not a gospel that can save. There's components in it that need to stay in it. We are not to share our opinions about salvation, our thoughts about the gospel. We are to preach the gospel as stated in Holy Scripture. That's the task that you and I have as we proclaim his goodness and his gospel to the nations, even in Allen County. Allow me to illustrate this point. Many of you are familiar with PBS, the television channel. On PBS, there's a show, or at least there used to be, called America's Test Kitchen. A great show. Angie and I liked that show until we moved and couldn't watch it anymore. But on that show, they take this recipe and they make it, whatever dish it is, and then they tweak it, they add something else to it, they take something else away from it until it's perfect. And they redo it and they taste it and they redo it. And all the elements that are there in it are there for a purpose. Angie has a recipe from America's Test Kitchen. It's pecan-encrusted chicken with a cranberry rice, cranberry orange rice pilaf. It's amazing. It's our Christmas meal, and it has been for years, ever since the kids were this old. It's our favorite meal. It's a very special meal, and somehow all the spices, everything that you do to it, to the chicken, it all works. And if you take anything away from it or add anything to that recipe, it's just going to change it. So there are certain elements to the gospel that need to be there, just like this recipe for pecan chicken. So what do we need? I think we need two primary things. The first thing that we need in proclaiming the gospel is we need to have our theology right. We must not add anything to it, nor take anything away from it. We must not water down the gospel. We must not sugarcoat it to help it go down. Mary Poppins was right. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. That is absolutely accurate. When I was a boy and had a fever, my dad would take two spoons and between the spoons crush a tablet of aspirin to make it powdered. And then he would pour honey on top of that and mix it all together. It did indeed help it go down, the flavor. But we were not to sugarcoat the gospel to make it more palatable. The gospel may offend, but may it be the gospel that offends and not us that are part of the offense. Adding anything to the gospel or taking away from the gospel will produce cult-like beliefs and therefore not a gospel that can save. It's got to be Jesus, and Jesus is the only ingredient in the gospel. After having our theology right, the second thing that we need in this process of making disciples is we need to stick around. The Great Commission is not go out and make converts. That's not what it says. Go make disciples. And discipling is an effort, and it takes time. And it might mean meeting for somebody over a coffee for a while, talking about their journey, talking about the faith, talking about God and his characteristics, what he's like, and how we should proceed in our Christian living. It takes time. Those times that you take away maybe from the office or away, maybe you spend your lunchtime talking with somebody else, explaining things, helping them with their problems. What is the Christian perspective and path forward towards a particular issue that the other person is having? We need to make sure that the other person is discipled at least to the point that they themselves understand that they need to disciple others. If all we do are make converts, we're only going halfway. God gives the increase. Make no mistake about it. But we are his hands and feet. And our task is to share the gospel to all nations, to whoever will listen. And God will change those hearts. And God will replace the heart of stone with the heart of flesh. And if we can't stick around long enough to disciple somebody, at least get them plugged into a Bible-believing church that can help with that process as well. It takes time. Coffee, meals, modeling what a Christ follower looks like. These are all part of things that aid in the disciple-making process. I want to share an illustration with you. Little did you know I'd be pulling a rope out of the podium this morning, did you? This is not a magic trick. I repeat, not a magic trick. But this rope, it's pretty long. Most of it is white. There's a little section on the end. I've wrapped some orange tape so you can clearly see it. Now imagine, if you will, that this orange part of the rope is your life, or any life. You're born here, you get educated, and then you start working, take a vacation, work some more. And a lot of people, what's their focus? A lot of people's focus is this little portion at the end of the orange. And I think, if I do my work really, really well and work hard until this point, then I'm set. And this is the focus. But my friends, after we pass, we don't cease. We continue. And it continues for eternity. And so let us not be focused on this little sliver at the very end of the orange rope, at the very end of our lives. But let's be focused and intentional on investing on things that are eternal. And my friends, I suggest to you, there's no greater eternal impact that we can have than sharing Christ with others. I want to switch gears a little bit now and share a little bit about how we are ministering in Albania. We've talked a little bit about God's redeeming plan that He's given to us to be a part of. And not just us. If you've ever wanted to be a part of something bigger, like, it doesn't get much bigger than this. Imagine not only the local church where we're gathered now, but the global church of believers all over the world. But it goes beyond that. From those that were justified by faith in the Old Testament, think of Abraham. Those that are living now, we, those in Christ, and those after us that will be born, that will be in Christ. The total redeemed population, that's big. And that's something exciting to be a part of. And we are all collectively a part of this task to declare God's redeeming plan and share the gospel among the nations. So what are some ways that this looks like in Albania? We are there to help build an independent and sustainable church. As I shared this morning in class, we believe that the best hope for a local community is the local church. It's good stuff. Local church. Because the local church that continues to reach out to a local community, to be the hands and feet of Christ, to lift somebody up when they're down, to encourage them to gather together for fellowship and instruction. We're involved in a local church, a church that we did not start. It was started by the pastor, a friend of ours. His name is Fabi Ivanai, and he started it in his home with a simple Bible study, and it just kept kind of growing from there. And when the church was about 3 years old, we joined and we partnered in that effort as missionaries to Albania. So our main ministry is Kisha e Besimit Biblik, which means Faith Bible Church, meets in the capital. We have roughly 27 members, and any given Sunday, 30 to 35 people attending. These are pre-COVID numbers, but it's a pleasure and an honor to be a part of this little church. I'm going to share some photos with you so you can get a better idea of what it looks like for this ministry to continue in Albania as we try to be a part of doing our part of this task that we've been given and sharing the gospel with others. This is the church during this time now. We are trying to social distance, so we have chairs spread apart, and we are gathering in our small sanctuary and foregoing for now the little crackers and snacks that we usually have after the service. But it's a joy and a privilege to be together with the saints. And these are brothers and sisters that you'll enjoy worshiping with one day around the throne. I don't know what language it'll be in. Maybe we'll understand each other. Maybe it'll be a new language. I don't know. But at any way, these dear brothers and sisters will be with us. One of the highlights of the year is our Christmas service. And not only the Christmas service, which is acts as an outreach, proclaiming the gospel to those visitors that will come during the Christmas service, but we also have a special time then in the evening where we gather just as the local church, members of the local church, and we share a meal together. We have a short devotional together. We sing some songs. Many of our dear brothers and sisters in this church might be the only Christian in their family. And so for them, their Christmas celebration is more meaningful here than it is because they're the only Christian in their family. And so it's a very, very special time for all of us. Another highlight during the year is a church camp, which in fact usually happens the last week of July. So starting tomorrow in Albania, our church will be gathering and looking forward to a week of Bible instruction and study and worship, doing some fun things together, fellowshipping together as well. And for, I think the vast majority of the church would say that this is the spiritual highlight of the year, to be able to break out of routine, to be able to just focus on being together as a local church, being built up and edified through being a part of this camp experience, having some fun together, but being in the Word also, and helping that grow our understanding and knowledge and our faith. Another aspect of ministry that the church has is Bible study. Bible study meets on Thursdays. It goes for about 2 hours from 6:30 to 8:30. And the majority of our church comes and attends the Bible study. We have a number of different people. Some are students. Some are in the workplace. And there's one of the gentlemen is a barber. In fact, he cuts my hair. And he closes his shop during that time, comes to the Bible study, and then after the study, goes back and opens up his chair again that he has for his barbershop. So I really commend the level of commitment for many that are in, take the time to come to the Bible study. There's also a women's ministry that takes place about once a month. It usually takes place in either one of the homes of ladies or they meet at the church. Maybe they meet in a cafe, going through a chapter of a book together as a group. Likewise, a men's ministry that meets once a month. I'm directing the men's meeting, men's ministry, and we're going through a book called Disciplines of a Godly Man. Here we are in the picture with the fork on it. That piece of meat is called chofta. In English, it means meatball. But it's more elongated, it's not round. But that's something that guys do, is guys meet and get together and they go out for chofta. They go out for these meatballs. And we just share and meet. And so this is a picture of us eating some chofta and hanging out and then at a cafe going through one of the chapters of the book together. Here's several of us. There are three of us that serve as elders. And so this fellow here had his house damaged by the earthquake that happened this past fall. And he needed to have some work done on his house. And so we decided as a church, what can we do as a local body of believers trying to help during such a terrible event like an earthquake? I'll share a little bit more in detail about the earthquake later on, but it was a 6.4, and it really shook us up, and it damaged some homes and buildings. And so we're a little church with limited resources. What can we do when the needs are so vast and so many? We can't do everything, but what can we do? We can do something. And so we gathered some financial resources together, and we as a local church presented it to this friend, and he was so thankful that we would take the time and share some financial resources to be a part of that and to share and help him rebuild a little bit of his house. So three elders. This is Mario, one of the elders of the church. This good-looking fellow here is one of the elders. And then Fabi is the pastor of the church. So three elders. And then Andre over here. He's not technically an elder, but he's a great help and benefit, does a lot of things in the ministry as well. So he was so grateful to receive those funds as well. And I remember walking away from that time of handing over that financial gift to him, just being so thankful that God would allow us to be his hands and feet in a practical way to somebody who had fallen on hard times. Besides our main primary ministry of working with the church, we're also involved in some side ministries as well. Elevate and Thrive are the names of two student ministries. Elevate is a middle school ministry where at the school where our kids attend. And so each of them have experienced Elevate ministry. So here are some a photo of the middle school gathered together at the camp. And it's Bible instruction, a game, and small groups afterwards, happening on Fridays every week. And the other ministry at the high school, Thrive, they're playing a game here. You can see, I'm not sure what the game was, but a little bit, it feels a little bit different than the middle school ministry, but still a ministry to the students and helping them engage Christ where they're at during the high school process. So we're privileged and honored to be a part of those side ministries, helping the students enrich their faiths. I'm going to introduce you to our team on the ground in Albania. It's a very international team. We're the only American couple on the team. We have a British couple. He's a doctor, and he works in one of the hospitals there. And so that is a very different type of ministry than what we're doing, but still there to proclaim the gospel and be the hands and feet of Christ to those in the medical community and to help improve the medical situation in the hospitals. There's a couple from Germany that are working in different various aspects, social services, and those that are mentally handicapped. The wife is a midwife, and so she teaches some prenatal courses and nutrition, those sorts of things. We have a couple in this in here has gone home. This family is a Dutch family that has returned back to Holland. And we have the other. This fellow here is from Australia, and his wife Allie is from Ireland. And so we really have a mix of nations represented in our team. We have English as our team language, so personally we're very grateful for that. We have teammates that operate in a second language for team life, and then they minister in a third language, in Albanian. So I'm not quite yet to that point, so I'll stick with two for now, just two languages. But it's such an honor and a privilege to be a part of such a loving team. And when you have different people coming together from different backgrounds, different nations, different cultures, sometimes there's space in there for some friction, for some miscommunication. And so our goal is to not be an American team, not to be a British team, not to be any sort of team, rather than a Christian team, a Christian mission team where we come together and we have the Bible and uphold biblical values in terms of how we do team life, how we communicate, how we deal with each other, show love and grace to each other. And even though English is our team language, I'll be honest, I've learned a few new words because there's some words that from our British friends and neighbors over in England use that we just don't typically use. So we had to learn pretty quickly what a fortnight was. That means 2 weeks. So we heard, let's do this again in a fortnight. I was like, okay, I think there's a game called Fortnite. Maybe that's what they're talking about. I don't know. But they meant in 2 weeks' time. Is a fortnight. So on our team, we do have some specific roles. Angie has the role of member care coordinator. So she helps educate and provide resources to our teammates, making sure that they have a support structure around them and what that looks like, different ways, ideas of what that could look like to make sure that they are supported not only logistically, but also just emotionally, mentally, and what all that needs to be in place to help give that support structure. And so we're really privileged to have all the resources that Angie has to pass along to us. Recently, I've received the mantle of team leader, and so I'm tasked now with leading this beautiful multicultural missions team on the ground in Albania. And as we move forward and giving some maybe suggestions or guidance into how we continue forward as a team on the ground in Albania. This past year or so, 9 months specifically, there have been a few challenges that we've been faced with. The first one came with some student protests. There were some student protests from the universities. They were protesting better dormitory conditions. They wanted this practice of bribing the teachers to go away, bribing for a higher grade, you know, for the coursework. They didn't want that. And so they took to the streets. And when they filled the streets, as you can imagine, that affected traffic patterns quite a bit. So when you block a major artery street like this, and then the side streets get blocked, and then streets off of that street get blocked, it makes it rather hard to get around. We're very thankful, however, that the times where the students gathered, it was normally announced and planned, and so we could sort of plan on avoiding those areas of town, not getting involved. But one time I remember I was going to pick up one of the kids from the school after school, and it's a short drive from our house to the school. It's probably a 3 or 4 minute drive. I got about halfway there, and I couldn't move. It was jam-packed. Eventually, about 15 minutes later, I made it onto a side street where I could park, and I just parked and walked the rest of the way to the school to pick up the kids from the school where they were at. So it was that jam-packed. So I didn't realize that traffic in the capital could get worse, but apparently it can. So we're thankful now that the student protests are not happening any longer. But in the fall, we received a little shake. It was 6.4 on the Richter scale. About 3,000 were injured, and roughly 51 people passed away. The epicenter of this earthquake was on the coast, and so some of the coastal cities and villages were worse off than what we were in the capital. We're about 40 minutes from the coast, but still, even we were shook pretty good. It got us all out of bed, and there were several aftershocks, quite a few. I think there were about 300 or over 300 aftershocks. And so after a big one happens, and then you feel other ones, and you think, is this another big one, or is it just an aftershock? And so not really knowing. And so multiply that times all the people that felt the earthquake. It's like the entire nation was sort of on edge, not really knowing what was going to happen next. So there was some destruction from the earthquake. A lot of buildings that had structural damage. Some buildings came down. These two vehicles, these are not private vehicles. These are part of a fleet, company vehicles from a business or a school. And so nobody was in those vehicles when part of the building fell. But even after the earthquake, and some of the damaged buildings that were cracked and had pieces that were loose, chunks of concrete would actually fall from the top of the building down onto the sidewalks where people are walking, where we're walking. And so for a while, we had to make sure that we're not walking close to the buildings, but walking closer to the road, because we weren't sure when these little chunks would fall from the buildings. But it definitely was a challenge. And then, of course, the pandemic. COVID came to Albania, and we were under a pretty severe lockdown for about 2.5 months. For a while, this wasn't every day, but for a while, for about a week, they had these tanks or armored Hummers that were in the streets, patrolling a little bit of the streets. This was a marketplace where they had a disinfectant sort of tunnel that you would walk through in order to get to where the market was that they were disinfecting. I don't think this was in our area anywhere near us, but maybe this particular area had a higher concentration of the virus. I'm not sure the reason why this one did, but to get through it, you had to get to this through this. I'm sure those are harmless chemicals. We actually had to walk through something similar when we went into the airport. We had masks, gloves. They took our temperature, and then we walked through one of these disinfectant sprays to get into the airport. And I think it's mostly safe. I have a little bit of a twitch from when that happened, but I think it'll go away. So, and then, of course, new little spots on the sidewalks that were giving a distance where we can stay away from each other, a little bit of a distance during that time as well. I want to share with you a quick story, a beautiful story that's related to the time in lockdown. This is VC and Yonita. This is a couple that was engaged to be married, and the announcement came from the government that Albania was going to be under lockdown, so restricting how many people could gather, restricting your movements, and how far you could go. And so I got a phone call from Pastor Fabi. Fabi's over here on this side. He officiated this wedding. Here in this photo, I was praying over the couple as they start their new life together. And so on about a Friday night, it was about 10:30, I got a phone call from Fabi. And we exchanged a few pleasantries. And then he said, so Kent, you know how VC and Yonita want to get married? I said, yeah, I know. They're really looking forward to getting married. Yeah, they want to get married tomorrow on Saturday morning at the church. Can you be there? Well, let me check my schedule. Yeah, I think I can be there. And, oh, by the way, do you have any candles? Well, maybe. Let me look. And so I'm on the phone with Fabi. It's now about 11 o'clock at night on Friday. Angie is rummaging through the house looking for candles. They want to do a unity candle lighting. And so somehow we have some white tapered candles, so that's a good start. We also found a pillar candle that they would light together. Unfortunately, that candle had previously been lit. So the wick was black and darkened, and the top of the candle was starting to fold in on itself. It looked used. It wasn't a brand new candle. So Angie thought, well, maybe we could trim part of it off and make it look a little bit nicer. It was pretty hard wax, so needs to be softened just a little bit, not melted into a puddle, just softened a little bit. So she put it in the microwave. Have you ever put a candle in a microwave? Do you know what happens? It lit. It lit on fire. That was unexpected. So that was, we'll go to plan B for that one. So take it out, and thankfully a hair dryer helped warm it a little bit. But if you find yourself in need of lighting a candle, you don't have matches, and you do have a microwave, you're in luck. But this wedding, VC and Yonita's wedding, was live streamed to a private Facebook group so the church could watch. There was just a handful of us there. No dress, no tuxedo, no flowers, just a few candles, but a lot of love. And it was one of the most beautiful weddings that I think I've ever been to. See their love for each other expressed, entering into a time of lockdown in a global pandemic. It was just a sweet story. So they've since enjoyed a couple months of getting to know each other on a pretty intense level from being under lockdown during this time. I'm going to introduce you to the Ivanis. As I stated before, this is Fabi and his wife Alma, and this is two of their four children. They have two girls and two boys, so their two boys are here with us. Fabi is such a great friend and a good pastor. He preaches the gospel, the pure gospel. It's not changed. He preaches the gospel as it is, uncompromisingly. And while that may offend some, to others, it convicts and softens their hearts, and they place their faith in Christ. And so it's a privilege to be a part of a church ministry on the ground in Albania that is focused on the word, on preaching the word, and helping others, not only making converts, because what are we called to do? We're called to make disciples. And that takes time and that takes effort. And that is what's happening in this church, in Faith Bible Church in Albania. Both the Ivanais and us raise our support, our financial support. Both he and us, as family units, missionary family units, are down on our support. And so if you feel led to partner with us in any way financially, either us or the Ivanais, we invite you to talk to us afterwards about how that what that can look like. A few prayer needs. I would ask for prayer for the ministry as we continue to minister in Albania. It's often hard and often discouraging. There's cross-cultural communication that happens quite a bit, which means there's a lot of room for error, of misunderstanding and thinking one thing, or even understanding all the words, but because of how all the words were said, it means something else. So sometimes not all the words mean exactly what those words mean given a certain context. And so there's room for error for understanding. So we ask for your prayers for grace and understanding, and to extend lots of love and grace during those times, and for health and safety. So sometimes we find ourselves in positions where there's just sharp things sticking out, holes to fall into, and we ask for your health, for our health and safety, prayers for that. So, and then again, as I mentioned before, financial support, and there are cards out there where you can receive information about our ministries, a sign-up sheet where you can sign up to receive our newsletter if you would like to receive updates from us and our ministry in Albania, and also a tick box to receive Fabi's newsletter as well if you would choose to do that. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for who you are, for being a God that is the true God that we can worship, that we can praise and exalt. Thank you for this task that you've given us of spreading the gospel and telling others about Jesus and your plan of redemption to gather a people unto yourself. Father, we ask that you would use us to be your mouthpiece, use us as your hands and feet. Father, we're merely clay vessels, but Lord, we're willing to be used for whatever purpose and whatever way that you see fit. Lord, use us for your glory and to build your kingdom as we work to serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.